The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Faster Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Makes Radio. Open line through till 1 o'clock, so the floor is yours. Whatever you want to talk about, text 166177, WhatsApp on the same number, email studio at maxradio.com or call 66 13 68. Perhaps you went to that meeting about the proposed assisted dying legislation on the Isle of Man. It was on last night at the Manx Museum. Also, have you heard this story about what's happening at Ballacameen about restricting? There's a new toilet rule going on at Ballacameen. Howard, I think you've got a word on that, haven't you?
Yes, I read that this morning and I've heard it a couple of times on the news. One of the things that, well, I can agree with the headmaster in so much that there must be well over 1,200 children up there in that school now, and you've got to have some form of discipline. And what I have, and you won't hear it publicly, I have heard from several school children at that school that a lot of the children who are purportedly going to the toilets are going down vaping. They're going to the toilets for vaping.
Right.
And they're going into the blocks and then having a quiet smoke in there and then going back to the classroom. And but the headmaster himself, he's made the right move in so much as restricting the backwards and forwards movements, and it won't be let out publicly because it's an internal thing, but he's done the right thing in so much that he's trying to keep control of a number of children within the school who are hell-bent on going down vaping or even selling them, and which I have heard of myself as well. They had people going around over the last 2 years selling vaping equipment within Ballacameen.
Well, I mean, I've heard anecdotal stuff from around the Isle of Man, and obviously, you know, we go take the program out to various schools. And the problem of vaping, and again, it's a minority of children that do it.
Exactly.
The problem is that it's... it is, I mean, years ago, it was a crafty fag behind the bike sheds. It's always happened at schools. Now we're in vaping, and now it's... and you just wonder, are the teachers hamstrung in any way by the fact that they can't discipline anymore? Or you just wonder where this is going.
Well, that's one of the problems, but that's been a problem for many, many years. I can honestly say I had the cane several times in school for various misdemeanors. And even there was a reference the other day to the school dentist, Mrs. Smith. Well, Slipper Smith, I was in a classroom where he didn't use a cane. He smacked everybody with what his nickname was, a slipper. And believe me, when you had that, you knew you'd been bought. The headmaster, and I can't remember what his name is trying to instill discipline within a large group of people. It's like having, well, a riot on your hands with a few leaders, and you've got to make sure the leaders are under control, otherwise anarchy will rule.
Well, it's the biggest high school on the Isle of Man. He's a relatively new headmaster, Graham Corran, his name is. He knows the school well, but as you say, this is something that's insidiously now come into schools. I would say that smoking was dying off before,
yes,
and then suddenly the vapes come.
Well, this is what I've said before on your program. A lot of the companies that are producing these vapes are the tobacco companies, and they've seen their profits diminish over the years because of people giving up smoking, the bans on smoking and various other aspects of it. Then they could see their finances dwindling away, so they had to put something else in its place, and the vapes are what are taking over. But what the nasty part about it is that they're putting all these vape out there, disposables, which the UK government are trying to ban, and the other ones, they're quite easily purchased. I've seen them purchased in a shop. The staff in the shop handing over vapes and the children buying them, and they're obviously underage. So, but what can you do on that? That's down to staff discipline and training. But the tobacco companies, etc., they had an idea what was in the cigarettes, tobacco, and various other chemicals.
Yeah.
But you have no idea what's in these vapes and what they are long term.
Well, I'm guessing that there's some nicotine in there, and that's the addictive part of it.
Oh, yes, but it's what the other parts are. They're so busy worrying about electric vehicles and all this other pollution, and people are walking around smoking a pollutant. And, you know, in years to come, it'd be past my time, but in years to come, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if there's not a dreadful plague of chest, respiratory infections, etc.
Oh, do you remember, Howard, it was two, 3 months ago, there was a school child, a school student in England, had a very bad lung condition because of vaping.
Yes, yes, and it was only a very young child, too. But again, it's down to parental control. A lot of the parents, they used to be saying, where's your child? But now they say, where's your parent? And the parents just do not have any control or discipline or respect for the children in a way. And they're buying these things. It's the same, you see them in the parks, etc., with bottles of vodka, etc. And they're either going in and purchasing themselves, or the parents are buying them for them. And, you know, that headmaster, he's to be admired for this, but he won't be able to say it openly, I'm doing this because of vapes, because it'll bring his school into disrepute against the others.
Okay.
But well done to that man.
Okay, all right, thanks, Howard.
Take care. Bye now.
Good to hear from you. This is the headmaster, head teacher of Ballycommeen, Graham Corran, who has basically come out in defence of the school's new rules around visiting toilets during lesson time. There was a letter shared yesterday telling students they're not to leave the classroom unless they have a medical issue or it's an extraordinary situation. It's come in for some criticism. There's obviously something behind this, as Howard said. It may well be somebody who's leaving the classroom to go vaping in the toilets. You may be unfamiliar with vaping. It is quite prevalent among young people on the Isle of Man since smoking got so expensive. Now vaping has arrived. So what do we do? Ballycommeen's a fine school, gets great results, good academic standard at Ballycommeen. And it's a big school, and obviously the teachers and the management group there, the headmaster, head teacher and what have you, will basically run the school with consent. That's the best way to run a school. But something is going on, and obviously we wish Graham Corran and his team all the very best. David's with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Danny. Just before I go on to the subject I want to talk about is, regarding vaping, it's the hands of the politicians. We're still waiting for royal assent coming from King Charles, aren't we? And it's down to the politicians. What's happening with the royal assent? Why aren't we bringing the regulations in? Why aren't we doing it a little bit earlier? Why isn't health going to the schools and telling them the dangers of vaping, smoking or drinking? Anyway, I want to jump to, there's been a reshuffle within members of the department, so I couldn't find it on Manx Radio again. So, but what I wanted to find out was, is how many politicians have moved around now? I don't know whether you know, but it came to mind to me regarding the TT scoreboards, because Daphne Kane had responsibility for the TT and motorcycle racing. Now that's been changed. Somebody else has got it now. And I just wondered myself, it's just one of those things you go past every day, Glen Cutchery Road and the grandstand and the cemetery, and you think to yourself, where is that scoreboard? Is it coming?
Well, I've on the QT, I think we're having the same one as last year, and it's all down apparently to cost. It's whether the motorsport division of the Department for Enterprise, I mean, they've got to go and ask for the money for a new scoreboard.
Is that the Starship Enterprise?
But,
I just wondered, I remember being on it about a year ago and saying to me, we've got all these people to do with the TT, I'm going to miss a couple of the bikers out here. So Honda, Kawasaki, BMW, Norton, all sorts of motorcycle manufacturers there would love to have a permanent scoreboard up there with their brand on it. Don't you think so? Well, Mr. Honda...
I mean, at the moment, no. There's no idea. There's no big vision for what it's going to be like. And obviously, the old scoreboard was iconic. Millions of people will have taken photos of the old scoreboard over the years. You know, it dates back over 100 odd years, and now we've got a clear line of sight through to the cemetery.
Yeah. Well, I remember Mr. Honda himself coming over here to the TT, and I'm just wondering. Simple emails going out saying we've got a plan to put a new scoreboard together and it's going to cost X, Y or Z. Do you think your company would want to be involved in it?
I've found the changes, by the way, David.
Oh, have you? I just wonder who's doing the TT now because, well, you can maybe, because I wanted to know, Andy, too. So who's not doing anything now? Who are the politicians who are just sitting on their fat fingers. I should have said something else, but never mind. Fat fingers.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's see. Dr. Hayward, Michelle Hayward's joined Treasury, leaving Department of Health and Social Care and Department and DEFA and the Department for Enterprise, so she's in Treasury. Sarah Maltby has joined Education, Sport and Culture, having left Treasury. Chris Thomas is Vice Chair of the Office of Fair Trading. And that's really, that was the last kind of mini reshuffle. So in the departments, in the Cabinet Office, you've got David Ashford and Diane Kelsey. This is apart from the Minister. In Education, Sport and Culture, Paul Crane and Sarah Maltby. In Enterprise, Anne Corlett, Peter Greenhill and Sarah Maltby. In Environment, Food and Agriculture, Tanya Hansen. Tanya's also in Health and Social Care, along with Joni Farragher. Home Affairs is Rob Mercer and John Wallenberg. Dawn Kinnish and Stu Peters in Infrastructure. And Michelle Haywood, Bill Henderson and Andrew Smith are in Treasury. So I think that's just about everybody. I don't think there are any...
No.
Everybody's in, really.
No, there's a few missing there. And just by coincidence there, just listening to it too, the number of MLCs that are there... I don't mind MLCs as long as they're doing some of the work. They can take on the legislation, reviewing it. But when they're sitting for, I don't know what it was, I never looked last week or whatever last time, 2 hours a day, are we getting value for money as a taxpayer?
So you think that the TT scoreboard needs to be some sort of priority, a big priority perhaps?
We've forgotten about it. Like you said the other day, when we go past these things, the prison site, the Park Road School, Summerland site, where else we got? The bus station, everything that government's owned. And we got this housing board who doesn't seem to want to talk to anybody and come up with ideas. Surely if they get together, I mean... Maybe our listeners could come up with a plan for the future instead of the government. And I'm not kicking them all the time, but I think we need to get the politicians to do things. And the ones that are not doing it are just asking questions on things.
Well, I think the least that we can have, if the government just tells us what we tell to our... What do we say to our guests who come over for TT? What's the line that we give? Do we say it's going to come next year? We haven't had the idea yet. We've got the idea, but we haven't got the money. What do we say to people? Do we just sort of grin and shrug our shoulders? What do we say?
And I did notice on Facebook regarding the people who have gone into the coming for the TT and the meltdown of the steam packet on the booking system. You know, what's happening there? How are we helping people to book to come for the TT? Everybody knows about the TT, want to come for the TT. And I've noticed, too, people are going on Facebook now and saying, I've lost my accommodation. Can anybody help us in the Isle of Man? I thought we had a department to help us.
Okay. All right. Thanks, David.
See you, boy.
Good to hear from you. We're at 21 minutes past 12. Man in Line live this, what are we now? It's Wednesday, isn't it? Wednesday lunchtime. Here's Julian. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. How you doing?
Good, thanks. Did you go to the meeting?
I did. Just before I comment on the meeting, just something about vape. Oregon State University did some research on that, and what they're saying is that the carrier fluid, which is propylene glycol, which is the same stuff that you put in the fluid in solar panels to deliver heat around your system when you're heating your water, when you boil that, it's making rather a lot of formaldehyde, and that is 15 times the cancer risk of a cigarette, weirdly. So aerosolized formaldehyde, probably not good for you. It forms something called formaldehyde hemiacetals as a result of it being boiled and heated. So some of them are sounding the alarm bell here, saying that vapes might actually be worse than cigarettes.
I mean, but who on earth is regulating vapes? I mean, there's no health warning on a vape, is there? Nobody says, you know, what the... If you buy anything in a shop, it'll tell you what the ingredients are. Does it say on a vape?
Exactly. Well, you know, ordinarily, there's a panel, isn't there, written on it somewhere that tells you these things, but who knows? Yeah, the meeting last night, it was actually, everyone was very upbeat in there because I attended the Dignity and Dying meeting as well to get a balanced idea, and it seemed rather more of a negative energy in there, but in the one last night, people were sort of, it was a much more positive atmosphere, I felt. Some of the topics that were raised, problems interfacing between the UK and the Isle of Man Health Service. Because if we have the assisted dying bill here, if a doctor is brought over from the UK, will they face prosecution under their abetment to suicide clause in the UK law when they return to the UK? Especially when you think that 30% plus of the existing medical staff on the island say they'll leave if that happens. And that has already happened in Holland. There was some stories of a Dutch GP who ended up working in London because he couldn't stand the wholesale industrial level death being delivered by the Dutch euthanasia system. Other points that were raised were things like Hodgkin lymphoma. That is now pretty much a 95% survivable, curable disease now. But if assisted dying became mainstream, will research be dampened? Because if people start getting assisted dying, where are the research participants going to be? Do you see what I mean?
Well, at the moment, you see, we don't... At the moment, and again, the public, if you like, the voter, the citizen, is stuck in the middle of this. So we have an assisted dying bill that is going through the process through Timwald. We have one set of clinicians who say that, you know, broadly they agree with it, and another set of clinicians who are opposed to it. I'm just wondering, what's the public supposed to make of all this? How do you kind of move forward on this?
Well, I think you have to sort of perhaps just say the simple things. What do we do with a struggling health service on the island if a third of the doctors leave on their Hippocratic Oath principles? What are we going to do? If 30% plus leave, what are we going to do? Are we going to bring people over from the UK? Will they come from the UK? Because there's an awful lot of people in the UK saying the same thing, that they will leave if that happens. What's going to happen to palliative care? Another interesting point that was raised in Canada, the government say that palliative care has received more funding. However, the doctors that carry out euthanasia, they use the same charging codes, the palliative charge code, as the palliative care doctors do. So there's no audit to say, where is the money going? You might find a situation where actually the money that's going from the state into this is getting skewed towards assisted suicide rather than the palliative care, because the codes that are being charged by the doctors are the same. So there's a sort of a statistical, they really, if you give assisted suicide, there should be a separate code so that you can see where the money is going.
What's your view what's your view of what was it? Esther Ranson, wasn't it, a couple of weeks ago, was getting very excited about the proposed legislation here and saying that might speed up legislation in the UK. Do you think there might be a knock on if it does go through here? Do you think that would, if you like, that would speed it? It would kind of legitimise it, and it would happen in the UK.
Well, you see, Esther Ranson. The talk about all this is that this is for vulnerable people, but Esther Ranson's not in that category. I mean, she could quite easily afford to go to Dignitas if she so wished. This is for people who don't have another choice. You know, there was some anecdotal evidence of somebody who was afraid of being homeless because the government paid for housing that he was in was bought out by somebody, and he had to go, and he couldn't make ends meet on his benefit to get another property. So he was granted euthanasia because he was afraid of being homelessness, of being homeless. The other worrying thing about these, you know, the consequences of this is, even though Bill C-7, which I mentioned some time ago, about them wanting to add this into the mentally ill, even though that's being deferred now till 2027, there are several examples of either an attempt to euthanize somebody with autism,
yeah,
or they've actually done it.
But remember, on the Isle of Man, Julian, they always very firmly say, Dr. Allenson firmly says, this is for terminally ill people only.
Mm. Yes, that's true. However, the goalposts have moved in every jurisdiction that have started down this road.
Right.
And okay. the other topic, I'll just finish. The other topic that I brought up was, what were the practicalities of the process of initiating the assisted suicide or dying? And the chap said the practicalities are, yes, some jurisdictions are insisting on either large amounts of powder or tablet. And he said that in recent times, the current record for somebody who actually was given assisted suicide, which is where they're given it and they do it themselves, was 104 hours to die, or just over 4 days. And it wasn't in a good way.
Okay.
So there's no guarantee that it's going to be a nice process.
All right. Thanks for calling today, Julian. We always appreciate your opinion and the research that you do. Got a note in from Steve who said, Sarah Maltby is your person. Yes, you're quite right. Sarah Maltby, Department of Enterprise, has confirmed Sarah Maltby is political member with specific responsibility for Visit Isle of Man and motorsport. Maybe she can ask her dad all about it. So that's Sarah Maltby, who'll know all about the TT scoreboard. We'll try and get something from them. Mike said you have to sympathise with school administrators, but this doesn't seem to be the right way to go about it. Children may be scared to drink or become dehydrated, which can make them want to go more and will affect their concentration. As usual, the few causing everyone else the problems, as it ever was, Mike. Thanks for that information. And Peter's on now. Hi, Peter.
Oh, hello. It's Peter Murcott here. Yes, I was at the meeting last night. There's two issues, I think, that need to be examined closely. The first one is one I've kept on about, and I'm going to repeat it again, and that is about your terminology, because that's your starting point. And your second point is where it's all going to terminate, where it's all leading to. On the terminology, it is crystal clear that we should stop talking about assisted dying, it's assisted suicide. There is no separate entity called assisted dying. They're one of two of the same things. So we have to be quite clear, and it's far clearer and far closer to the legal position to call it assisted suicide, or the other alternative, of course, is euthanasia. That one needs to be grappled with by the legislature as to what they're doing, because they've got a suicide prevention strategy. And as I've pointed out before, you cannot run a suicide prevention strategy and a suicide provision strategy at the same time. The second thing which was interesting that came out last night is where it's all leading. You've mentioned about the fact that it's been insisted that it requires, obviously, just people who are terminally ill, though I might note that other places, for example, in Jersey, they talk about the alternative of unbearable suffering, and that phrase has always been used in other jurisdictions. So we're already several steps on from where most jurisdictions start. Now, one of the things, if you notice in this whole discussion, is a phrase that's been used, my choice. Now, at the moment, my choice would be very, very limited as the way the bill is worded. However, we always have to look at where it's all leading. And eventually, and this is something that was touched on last night, you'll have arguments used about discrimination and equality and all the other things. And it'll eventually lead to where people will want to have death by choice. There won't be any restrictive criteria such as are there at the moment. And you've seen how it's gone in Holland, how it's gone in Belgium, and how it's going in Canada. Gradually, they weaken the entry point. And eventually, where it will terminate, what it will come to is that a person will be expecting, people will expect that it's discriminatory to put any restrictions on. If I've got to the point where I want to die, somebody's either got to come and kill me or they've got to provide me with the necessary so that I can die. So as long as we understand that point, that these entry points now are very much temporary and they will eventually get swept away, that's the route that we're going on. And I think if we understand that, and if we understand where we're starting from, assisted suicide, while at the same time spending money on a suicide prevention strategy, that I think can clarify people's minds, especially the legislature, very much as to what decision they've got to take.
And what would your direct message be to the MHKs and MLCs concerning the proposed legislation?
Kick it out.
Okay. All right. Thanks for that, Peter.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. How much research have MHKs done on assisted dying before they voted? Doctors have identified serious concerns with some of the clauses. On such a serious issue, there needs to be an all-island referendum on the assisted dying bill, says Texter 572. Thanks for that note. And also, I want to say hi to the... Oh, here we are. There's somebody talking about the schools. Yes, I agree the fact that the head teacher should be putting down a new rule for the schools. But is this because, says this correspondent, that teachers can't discipline children anymore in schools? So it's down to the discipline that the teachers can enforce. And if the discipline doesn't go far enough, then, of course, you will have students who will test the boundaries. In this case, perhaps going to vape in the loos. Bonzo's on now. Hi, Bonzo.
Hello there. Yes, one of your messages kind of stole one of the things I was going to talk about. And that, yes, of course, Sarah Maltby is responsible now for motorsport at DfE. And so I'm sure that she learned all about TT and Max Grand Prix and everything on her father's knee. So, I think she is well placed there. So I look forward to seeing her conclusions and actions on various things in that role. Just coming on to the point that you were making about, or the message was making before, about the Balakameen lavatory policy. I remember at school, I dare say you as well, that you couldn't just wander in and out. To go to the gents and hang around there for as much as you liked, having a cig, or nowadays having a vape or something. So I think there is justification in him trying to, in the new headmaster to actually trying to instill some kind of self discipline in people, that if you're only there in a lesson for 45 minutes, even with a double period, it'd be about an hour and a half. Well, if you can't really kind of manage yourself like that, then, getting on a bus is going to be a bit of a problem for you, isn't it?
So, I mean, times have changed. I think we all had to start from that. The fact that times have changed, and also the fact that young people will always be young people. Young people have always want to appear older than they are. Years ago, young, you know, school children appeared older by wanting to, as you say, have a fag at the back of the toilets or in the bike sheds or at the bus stop. Now vapes have come, but quite what, I mean, it seems that the head teacher has been put in an invidious position, really, of kind of damned if he does and damned if he doesn't.
Yes, very much so. I mean, no, I think that there were CCTV cameras, weren't there, that actually observed the, you know, door going into the various loos, you know, into the main block, not obviously inside. But those have been vandalised or something, have they not?
Yes, I mean, there's, as I say, there's all sorts of stuff going on, some of which that we can't talk about. But at the moment, the situation is, I mean, the situation is that students can't leave the lessons unless there's a medical emergency or specific circumstances. And as somebody said, it's probably the minority that caused this problem.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that sounds reasonable enough. To me, I think it sounds reasonable enough to most people. I really can't quite get my head round why they're having this, why they're having this issue. But that's just one thing. Coming on to this reshuffle and the role of MLCs. I mean, MLCs have skills, and if they're not being presented with legislation, which they're not, because everything's still in the island plan and the legislation is damming up in order to implement that and percolating through slowly. But by the end, I should think, of this particular session of Tynwald, there will be a tsunami of legislation, which then the Legislative Council actually have to deal with. So their time will be quite well occupied. But their time at the moment is quite well occupied in other things that they do, such as committee work and indeed departmental work. And when you have people of the quality of, for example, Diane Kelsey, who was an old wing commander engineering officer, she used to run engineering for the Tornado Force and the Royal Air Force, and Rob Mercer, who came into LegCo from quite a senior position in e-gaming, as I recall, from software development, has about 30 years plus experience in IT and software development. Those kind of people can bring an awful lot of analysis and an awful lot of ability into policy making and legislation. And indeed, I think Rob Mercer is putting through quite a lot of scheduled to put through quite a bit of legislation for Department of Home Affairs, apropos the reforms of the legal and justice system.
Mm. Okay.
So you know that those people are, you know, are useful, and if they're getting paid, we might as well get the most use out of them.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Bonzo.
Okay, then, cheers. Bye.
It's 20 to 1 on Manx Radio. Yeah, the position of MLCs, as Sir Bonzo said, many of whom are very, very skilled, have led full lives before they got into LegCo. And Peter Greenhill, one of the... You may, if you go to the Ravens, by the way, if you go to FC Alamann, you may see Peter Greenhill, MLC. He's the refereeing judge. Peter is a long... I think Peter at one time used to be a Premier League linesman, or what do they call them, assistant referee, as well as his own career in business. But Peter Green, I think he can still leg it up and down a football touchline quite well. So we wish him well. All the best, Peter, and glad you're enjoying the Ravens. Forthcoming, by the way, on Man in Line next Monday, constituency Man in Line, Ramsey MHKs, Monday the 18th, Dr. Allinson and Laurie Hooper will be live on Man in Line on Monday, and a week today, the 13th of March, we're live at St. Ninian's High School.
Feeding friends and family with the finest the island has to offer, the Forge Smokehouse and Grill Santon.
fresh Manx produce marinated, slowly cooked, grilled and smoked to perfection right here and served in a gorgeous setting. Just walk in anytime, no booking needed. Parties, family gatherings and weddings, the perfect venue for any occasion. And don't forget our large marquee for any event. Visit theforge.im and see.
Ready to begin your journey toward achieving your desired weight goals? Waiting for the right moment? We're the Tracy Bell Clinic, and we're here for you every step of the way. We specialise in weight loss and aesthetics, and we've a range of non-surgical weight management plans, all carried out by our medically trained experts. The wait is over with the Tracy Bell Clinic. Start your journey today. Book a consultation. Call the Tracy Bell Clinic on 613 323.
Island Hearing Limited, your local hearing care specialist since 2009, with branches in Port Erin and Ramsey. We provide the very latest hearing aid technology available, which you can try at home, with excellent aftercare and a wax removal service available using microsuction. Give us a ring on 830 722 or visit Island Hearing at 1 Station Road, Port Erin. We're happy to help. Island Hearing, always listening.
How do you really get to feel healthier? Eat healthier. ShopRite's Healthy Choice ranges make it easy and truly enjoyable. All over our chillers and freezers, food that even sounds better for you. Like the Gym Kitchen protein-packed frozen meals, Plant Chef plant-based chilled and frozen food, and Free From ranges across the store from pasta to cereal. Better for you doesn't have to mean boring anymore. Try our range of healthier alternatives. Available now at ShopRite.
As your public service broadcaster, it's crucial for Manx Radio to mirror the Isle of Man. That's why we're asking the question, what matters most? We want to know your opinions of the nation station and island life. Your thoughts could play a vital part in shaping our news and current affairs programmes. Go now to manxradio.com to take part in our short online survey. And as a thank you for taking part, you'll be entered into a prize draw to win either dinner, bed and breakfast for two at the Manin Hotel, a £100 heating or road fuel voucher from Ellen Vanin Fuels, or a 12-month family pass for Groudle Glen Railway. What matters most? Take part now at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Oh, before 1 o'clock, it's Wednesday, so every Wednesday in our 60th anniversary year, we're going to Kelly's Eye from the Manx Radio Archives this week. Peter Kelly and David Collister in Cronkbourne, looking at the birthplace of Archibald Knox. That's after Man in Line today. Eric dropped a line in just to say, I'm puzzled on this, why this rubbish about video doorbells and outdoor cameras has suddenly been raised. Could somebody explain why it's okay to use these devices to record events as long as they've been registered, but contravenes the data protection law if not registered, bearing in mind they will be recording the same information whether registered or not. Also, how does it affect mobile phones when they're being used in video mode, and for that matter, any other type of video recording equipment? Is the government short of money? A load of twaddle, says Eric. Get off the fence, Eric, would you? Tony's on now. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Andy. I agree wholeheartedly. A lot of what we keep getting is a load of twaddle. The government seems more interested in bringing forward things that will never, ever happen, like assisted dying, let's call it suicide, because that's what it is. As the man came on and said, you've got an anachronism when you're trying to stop people taking their own life, and then you're advocating they should take their own life. I just think we're not a jurisdiction that should be doing this. Why are we getting into this? And it basically distracts from the situation that we have a system that doesn't work. Our health system is an absolute chaos. I was phoned the other day because I missed an appointment at a hospital for which I'd not received a letter. So as you would remember, they were very quick to tell us from the health service, I don't know which part, because I can't remember how many parts there are, but they told us we keep missing appointments. Oh, there's lots of appointments missed. And the minister was very quick to tell us that, but what he hasn't got is the information that says how many appointments were missed where the letters weren't sent out. Now, mine was for a heart condition, So you just wonder how many people around there are waiting for an appointment. The appointment has been made, but they never got informed to go. I just give up. And if you are waiting for a vaccine for shingles, it's not on the island and it's not coming. That's according to the health minister. I sent him an email, as I said the other week. Got an answer back, and the answer is, well, there's a piece of paper going through the system to get approval for more funding, because the new injection is more expensive than the old one. Now, why it takes as long as it does for them to do, and they don't know about this when it's all over GSK website and it's advertised on the news everywhere. Our government just doesn't look at anything. They wait until something falls on them and then realises we have to do something about it. It's appalling. I'm sorry to say that we fill the news as much as possible with other issues so that we don't focus on the main issues, which are the health service doesn't work and we don't have any openness. We have a boat that doesn't always sail. It's completely unreliable.
And I don't know whether you've heard this skeet knocking around and videos knocking around of Mananan, our fast craft, who was in Liverpool yesterday for berthing trials on the new terminal in Liverpool, and apparently everything didn't go entirely to plan.
Does that surprise you, Andy? You've got a boat. We bought a new vessel, right? We can't get anything right because the DOI is the manager of it. And DOI has no ability, as far as I can see, to manage anything. And yet we keep shoving things to it. I'll give you an example. We order a new vessel, Manxman. Yeah, great. Where's the specifications that were given to the shipyard? I'd like to see them. I'd like them to be public. Because they should be, because it's our vessel. We're paying for it. It's not the Isle of Man steam packet that's paying for it. We are. You, me, and all the other taxpayers are paying for it, whether it's now or in the future. Now, that vessel was specified by somebody, but we don't know who. They argue over who. It was the DOI that told us we wanted a bigger vessel. Why we need a bigger vessel for 2 weeks of the year, I do not know, but we do. We've now got three vessels over my Isle of Man steam packet, so why didn't they just say we'll get another vessel in for that period over the TT when they're expecting these 2 million people to be spending on the Isle of Man, and the rest of the year we'll have a vessel that can sail every day in a full seven. And we would have something that was reliable then. The issue is we bought a boat, it's bigger than the other one, so now we have to modify the harbour. Did no one ever think about the fact that, oh, we're going to have to modify the harbour if we get a bigger boat? I mean, it just beggars belief.
And apparently, nobody knew, but the harbour's deeper than we thought.
Well, it's not the harbour, it's the bedrock. But if they'd have looked back in the plans, they must have been down to bedrock when they put the original pier in.
You would have thought that, wouldn't you? You would have thought somebody somewhere would have known that.
Yeah, you would have done that. Of course, they didn't know anything about the prom, and they had to go and dig it up to find out. The fact that those plans were there and have been there all the time, but they just didn't want to look at them because nobody could understand them, is hard to believe. The government is broken. Alfred Cannon came in and said, we're going to have openness and we're going to have people responsible. We're going to have responsibility and we're going to hold people responsible. I see absolutely zero movement on that. We have more denial of information than we had for the last 10 years. And we've also got now a situation where nobody is ever responsible for anything. And we don't do anything about it if they are responsible. We just give them a pat on the back and send them away with a bigger pay packet. And, of course, we give them a pension that's the envy of the world. I just give up. You've got a finance minister who turns around and wants to bring in a bill that's people can die, good. And how's that going to help with his taxpayer situation? And he goes ahead and puts another 2% on the taxes for the people that can't afford it and doesn't think about the fact that there is a middle income bracket between 40 and 100,000 that he's not even taxing. Well, he is taxing it, but it's the same rate as if you earn $25,000. It's just wrong. And they don't seem to want to do anything about it.
Okay.
What they want to do is talk about other things.
Well, in that case, you have open season then to talk about all those other things on Man in Line, Tony.
And I do. I'd like to send you an email so you've got exactly the information about this shingles vaccine.
That'd be great,
yeah. You've got an email address.
AndyWint@manxradio.com. All lowercase, AndyWint, all one word, @manxradio.com.
Yeah, I think you'll be able to answer any questions if anybody over 70 wants an injection. MaxRadio.com.
Okay. All right, thanks,
I'll
Tony.
I'll send you this email on, and then if any old age pensioners call you up, you'll know what the answers are.
All right.
Happy days.
Cheers now. Thanks. And thanks also to Pablo, who sent me a copy of the photo of the sea cat. The sea cat, the Manannan, is on her new berth from my living room window in Liverpool. Isle of Man Harbours is in Liverpool. All the best to you, Pablo. Thanks for that photo. Looking very nice. The horse trams are timetabled to start on the 28th of March this year, yet there appears to be fencing up the tramway stables still. What is the latest, says Tony. Ah, remember, this is the home of the halfway horse tram. There aren't many around the world, but we have a halfway horse tram.
Andy Wint, the nation's station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Also, let's have a look here. Regarding the loos, yes, I completely back the head teacher at Ballacameen. There must be something behind all this. And I agree with Tony, says Marion Ramsey. I had a letter telling me I'd be registered as a DNA for an appointment I hadn't received. DNA did not attend. Deoxynucleic, anyway. Thank you, Mary and Ramsey. The case of the missing letters, which seems to be something that is, it's not rare, let's put it that way. I visited my dentist in December 2023 and was told to contact them in early January to arrange a checkup due to Manx Care taking control in 2024. I contacted the dentist, as suggested, was told to contact in a month's time, which I did, only to be told they were dealing with a backlog of children who were having problems with their teeth, and the practice would contact me once these children had been dealt with. This effectively massages the figures, as we technically have a dentist, technically, says Peter, but I can't get an appointment. I applaud Manx Care taking the opportunity to help children, but I think the Health Minister will collate the numbers of children involved and the severity of their problems to present to Keys, only to encourage support for adding fluoride to our drinking water. I'm not in favour of it. That's it for Man in Line today. You can email my personal email, the one I gave Tony, or maninline@manxradio.com, or back in session tomorrow at high noon with another open line. Thanks to Chris on the phones today.
WINT.
60 years serving you as the nation station. This is Manx Radio.
Peter, I think I know what Kelly's eyes looking at today.
When we looked at it the last time, it was about a 10-foot high piece of Spanish head slate. Mm. And today it's a 10-foot high piece of Spanish head slate. But halfway up it, it has a plaque.
It does.
It reads, Archibald Knox, 1864 to 1933, artist and designer for Liberty and Co., and a leading exponent of the arts and crafts movement. Born in Cronkbourne Village, Braddon, and buried in Braddon Cemetery. So there are still some people who were taught by him.
My father was.
Yes. He taught at the art school, but he also taught in the high school, and he taught in Ramsey Grammar School.
Mm.
But, of course, his work is well known throughout the world. The work he did for Liberties, which they, of course, made, he designed, the pewterware and the silverware, is in demand throughout the world, America, Japan in particular, and the prices are sky high. But the thing about Archie was, of course, although everybody clamours after his work, everybody in the Isle of Man knows of him, when he died, headstone went on the grave, and that was it.
Mm.
There was no memorial, there was no nothing. Not until 1983, that was 50 years later after his death, the Isle of Man Victorian Society commissioned a plaque which was put on the site of the house in which he died at the end of Athol Street.
Yes.
The house itself has gone. It's now that garden where it meets up with Peel Road.
Isn't that quite extraordinary that you could go for 50 years without some recognition?
Well, that's it, 50 years. Now we have this second. Perhaps not so much a memorial to him, but something to tell people this is where he was born. He was born here in Cronkbourne. Mm. He trained to be an art teacher. He went away, he taught in England, and that's where the Knox Guild started. He had his own groupies, these female students flocking him around him. And you know, even after his death, they still had the Knox Guild. Such was his popularity. As Manx people, being proud, we do need to tell people. And when I have groups coming, different arts and crafts groups, Victorian societies from different regions, they come to Cronkbourne. And now when they come, and there'll be one coming very shortly, first thing they're going to see is the plaque.
Part of Ireland life for 60 years. This is your Manx Radio.